chapter 7, and let's go ahead and begin to get into this tonight. I'm going to tell you that what I'm going to do is cover the pictures in the text, what the different figurative language in the text is picturing, and I'm going to bring you right up to the little horn. There's a little horn that's mentioned in this chapter, Daniel chapter 7, that I do feel is a representation of the Antichrist. And remember, there's many Antichrists. You got to remember that. You always just think of one, but the Bible says there's many Antichrists. There's Antichrist back when John wrote the book of 1 John. As a matter of fact, he even made that statement. Now are there many Antichrists, but there is one mainly. And where this one does his damage is he claims to represent Christians and Christianity, but like the book of Revelation says, he appears like a lamb, but he speaks like the dragon. And I think what we'll do in Daniel 7 is we'll just focus on that little horn next week. But I got to build the bridge up to it, and that's what we're going to do this evening. What this chapter will do, it will identify, it'll give descriptions of the little horn. So when I'm going to share with you who I think the Antichrist is, and if he is the Antichrist, he would fit all the descriptions that are given of him in Daniel chapter 7. It says he'd wear out the saints of God. He'd have a big mouth, make great claims about himself. He'll be a religious leader and a political leader. So you're going to see all of that. And Daniel 7 will also reveal the time frame that he comes on the scene. Okay? So I'm going to share all that with you next week, and that will also come out of Daniel 7 before we move to Daniel chapter 8. Does that sound good? So tonight we're going to get all the symbolic language in this text out of the way, and then we'll look at the little horn next week. Now let me go ahead and give you all the information I can with regard to the rest of the book. From chapter 7 through chapter 12, we're going to see four visions. Four visions. In chapter 7, you'll see the vision of the four beasts and the Ancient of Days. The four beasts and the Ancient of Days in chapter 7. Chapter 8, you'll see the vision of the ram and the he-goat. And remember, in the context, it'll tell you what the ram pictures and the he-goat pictures. Vision of the ram and the he-goat. Chapter 9 is the vision of the 70-week prophecy. Very important text because I believe that Daniel's 70-week prophecy, it's a time frame that would take you from the command to restore and rebuild Jerusalem. It would take you, you remember, it would be Cyrus of Persia that would send them back to the land. That prophecy time clock would start ticking with the command to restore and build Jerusalem. If you knew exactly the date that started, this prophecy brings you right down to the ministry of the Messiah. I want you to hear what I just said. It brings you right down to the ministry. When His public ministry starts, that's what that prophecy brings you down to. Does that sound interesting to you? So we'll get there, Lord willing, in the next couple of weeks. That's Daniel 9, the vision of Daniel's 70-week prophecy. In chapter 10 through 12 is the vision of the kings. And that'll take you from Persia down to King Jesus. All right? It goes from the Persian king, and it'll end up in chapter 12 with what king? The main king, King Jesus. So it'll take you, that's the fourth vision, the vision of the kings. From Persia to the Second Coming. Secular historians, many or secular people, when they look at the history of 10 through 12, they will swear that it had to happen after it happened. It's so detailed of coming history in Daniel's day, from Daniel's day down, it's so detailed and so accurate, they swear that it happened, that this was written after these things happened. That's how clear and precise that it is. Of course, our God declares the end from the beginning. And that's why that's one of the self-evidences that the Bible is the inspired Word of God, because of all the prophecies that's contained in it, over 2,000 fulfilled prophecy. Prophecy was a prediction of a future event that came to pass. It's overwhelming. There's no book like the Bible. Nothing compares to it. And all the prophecies, all these things are stated centuries, thousands of years, some of them, before they ever came to pass. So, love the book. Love the book. I'm thankful to the great King that He gave us a copy, aren't you? All right. So, let me give you the little word outline for chapter 7. We're just entitled this chapter, The Beasts, because we're going to be looking at four beasts. We're just the beast. Give a little two-word title so we can think our way through the book. Outline 4, chapter 7, verses 1 through 14 is the vision. And who will have this vision is Daniel. It's different than the other vision. Well, the other vision, Nebuchadnezzar had it. Remember in chapter 2? This one is a vision that Daniel has. Verses 15 through 29 will be the interpretation of the vision. 1 through 14, the vision. Verses 15 through 28, the interpretation of the vision. So let's go ahead then and get into chapter 1 of, verse 1. Really, this happens all the way back into the time of Babylon. So don't get confused because we mentioned Belshazzar here. And then he's mentioned again in chapter 5, earlier in chapter 5. Even though when we get in chapter 6, we was in the Persian kingdom. All right, now it says, Daniel had a dream and visions of his head upon his bed. Then he wrote the dream and told the sum of the matters. Now remember, in the Old Testament and in part of the New Testament, God would speak to prophets through visions and through dreams. All God's people said. That's how He would speak to them. Now He didn't speak to everybody that way, but He would speak to His prophets through visions and dreams. Now, let me give you a text if I wrote it down. Numbers chapter 12. Let me see if that's it. Numbers chapter 12. This is I mentioned this earlier in the book. I'm going to mention to it again. Of course, Moses was a prophet. Daniel was a prophet. But here's what he says about his prophets in Numbers 12 and verse 6. He said, "Hear now my words. If there be a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known to him in a vision. And I will speak to him in a dream." There you have visions and dreams. See? So that's how many times he would make himself known to a prophet. He would cause him to see a vision or a dream, and he would reveal to him coming events, coming truths from the Word of God. And what they would declare to people then would be called what? Prophecy. "But my servant Moses is not so, who's faithful in all my house. Him I will speak mouth to mouth, even apparently, and not in dark speeches." So Moses was a prophet, but God would speak to him face to face. So I want to warn you about this. I know I've run this in the ground, and I'm going to continue running in the ground. I don't think God speaks through visions and dreams today. And I think it's dangerous to think that He does. And the reason why I think it's dangerous is because when He completed the Scriptures, when the Scriptures was completed, then the gift of prophecy was no longer needed. If there was prophets today, and there's a lot of people that claim to be prophets, then you could, didn't you see? You see, right here is prophecy. I got the book of prophecy right here. If there was prophecy today, you could add to it. So that's why I'm such a stickler on that particular issue. Well, I've been told that I limit God. No, I'm not limiting God whatsoever. It's for instance, in the Old Testament, He gave the ceremonial law, didn't He? They offered animal sacrifices. And, you know, God could still do that today, couldn't He? If He decided to and He wanted to and declared us to do that for a memorial, He could do that. But you know why He don't do animal sacrifices and the ceremonial law today? Because something better came. That's why He don't do it anymore. Now, you want to know why He don't give word through visions and dreams anymore. Something better came. This is better. There was no prophet that had the full book. They had bits and they pieces. But when this book was completed, then that was done away. I think it's important you see that, because I think what you have happening today is you got a great host of people that are using that to make themselves rich. And God told me this, and God spoke to me in a dream. You hear it all the time. If you want to hear God speak, open up His book and read it. This is how He speaks. You say, well, Jeff, that's pretty close-minded. It sure is. But it'll keep you from getting in trouble. You follow the book, it won't get you in trouble. So I don't believe the Lord speaks. I've had times I wished He would speak to me and tell me just exactly in a dream what to do. I even snuck and asked Him about it. Lord, I want to know what to do here. Would You reveal it to me tonight as I'm sleeping? I got up the next morning, nothing came. He wants you to go by His book and follow the direction that He leads. He'll direct your path. He'll direct your path, but He'll use His book to do it. We are warned in the last days. We are warned. Look at Matthew 24 and the verse 24. Now, folks, I think you need to stand on what I just gave. Because if you don't, you're going to get yourself in trouble. You follow the book. I'm not giving you something I had in a vision or dream. I'm giving you something God already gave to His prophets. This book is a completed book. Genesis through Revelation, this is done. This is what He gave to His church. This is what we go by. Matthew 24. Listen this morning now. This is talking about the last days. It says in verse 24, there shall arise false Christs, false messiahs, false Christs, and false prophets. And they shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive God's very elect. So these are things. Now, I'm going to tell you, in the last days, one of the things that the devil uses is signs and wonders to pull people away. Look around you and see signs and wonders to pull people in. And they pull them right out of the book, pull them to follow what they say. And many of these places are some of the greatest shows on earth, so to speak. Go by the book. Somebody say, go by the book. Go by the book. And that's been finished and it is done. So, but Daniel, let's go back to our text in the book of Daniel. Daniel received a vision and dream. And he records it here in the book of Daniel for us, and we're to follow it. We can learn a lot from it. Okay? Let's go ahead and look at what this vision is. I need to share. I'm going to share that every opportunity I get, just to keep you fresh on it. It says, Daniel spake and said, I saw in my vision by night, and behold, the four winds of the heavens strove upon the great sea. And four great beasts came up from the sea. Now notice what he's seeing in his vision. Four beasts, now where are they coming from? They're coming up out of the sea. Now you remember that because you see the same thing in Revelation 13. John sees the exact same vision at a different time, but he sees beasts that comes up out of the sea. Describes them the same way in Revelation 13. Okay? So these four great beasts that come up out of the sea, and they're diverse from one another. It simply means they're different from one another. And notice he describes what he sees in the text. He describes what he sees. And it says, and the first was like a lion, and it had eagle's wings. And I beheld till the wings thereof were plucked, and it was lifted up from the earth and made to stand upon its feet as a man. And a man's heart was given unto it. Now, before, as we look at these beasts that come out of the sea, the first one was like a what? A lion. And it had what kind of wings? Eagle's wings. Now, if we look down in the text at verse 17, I want to establish this in the beginning. What he's seeing in these beasts is he's seeing beasts that are representations of a nation. If you look in verse 17, these great beasts, which are four kings, which shall arise out of the earth. Now, the idea of four kings, kings represent kingdoms. You'll remember back in chapter 2, one of the things that was said of Nebuchadnezzar, "Thou, O Nebuchadnezzar, art the head of gold." Look back at chapter 2 of the book of Daniel. And this was the vision that Nebuchadnezzar had, Daniel chapter 2. And let's look at verse 37. "Thou, O king, art a king of kings, for the God of heaven hath given thee a kingdom, power, strength, and glory." And he goes on to say in verse 38, the latter part, "Thou art this head of gold." So Nebuchadnezzar, the king, represented the nation of Babylon. Then we go down through the imagery in Daniel chapter 2. The nation of silver represented the Medes and Persians, remember? The nation of brass represented Greece. The nation of iron represented Rome. So it represents kingdoms in Daniel 2. Well, folks, I'm going to tell you, these beasts represent the exact same thing. You say, well, why in Daniel chapter 2 are they pictured as metals? Because Daniel 2 stresses their glory, gold, silver, and brass. But when we come into chapter 7, Daniel's having the dream, and they're pictured in how terrible they are. Savagery. Ruthless. And these kingdoms were in the way they conquered, but also in the way that they treated God's people. So they're viewed as beasts. Because who has this dream in chapter 7? To save man that has a dream. So I think that's the difference in the imagery, but I'm going to be honest with you. They represent the same nations. And I'll draw the similarities, or I've done put them on the board for you. Now let's go ahead and look at this nation of the lion. Verse 4, it says, the first was like a lion and had eagle's wings. Now if you look back in a history book, sometimes they'll show a flag and it has a lion with eagle's wings. And you know what represents that? The Babylonian Empire. That was a symbol of the Babylonian Empire. So this represents the Babylonian Empire, as the Daniel 2, the image of gold represented the Babylonian Empire. The gold did, and the lion with the eagle's wings did. Same vision, different way of presenting it, means the same thing. Represents the same nation in the text. Now, it also gives you another hint that this is Babylon, not only by the description of the lion with eagle's wings, but you notice that it says it got its wings plucked. Did the Lord pluck the king of Babylon's wings? He sure did. He got his wings plucked. The Lord humbled Nebuchadnezzar. And he was just like, he seen himself just as a man and not as a god. So the imagery there depicts that, so you'll know exactly who it's speaking of. All God's people said, see it? So it pictures the lion with eagle's wings pictures Babylon. Now you move down to the next beast, and it says, "Behold, another beast, a second like a bear." That's Russia, isn't it? Anytime anybody sees a bear, it's Russia. Go in order in the context of Scripture. Right after Babylon came another nation. And what was the nation that followed Babylon? We just seen it. What was the nation that came in under the wall and conquered Babylon? It was the Medes and Persians. Now you'll notice something about this bear. It says it's raised up itself on one side. That means it's lopsided. Here's a lopsided bear. Now, do you know why it's lopsided? Because it was two kingdoms in one. You had the Medes and the Persians. But the Persians was the dominant. That's why it's pictured as being lopsided on one side. The Persian Empire was actually the dominant in that union there between the Medes and the Persians. So that's why this bear. Isn't that how the Lord does things? Isn't it amazing? So he just depicts it as a bear that is lopsided. And of course, the Persians were stouter, had more dominion, and was actually over the Medes Empire. Okay? Now, it has three ribs in its mouth. And if you look over to chapter 8, here's what those three ribs pictures. In chapter 8 and verse 4, the Medes and Persian Empire is pictured by a ram. And the context shows you that in verse 20. If you'll look down at verse 20 of chapter 8 of the book of Daniel, "The ram which you saw having two horns." Why did the ram have two horns? Medes and the Persians. "The ram which thou sawest having two horns are the kings of Media and Persia." Everybody see it? pictured as a bear in chapter 7, pictured as a ram in chapter 8. Okay? Now, you say, Jeff, what's them three ribs for? Well, it gives you direction that the empire went conquering. It went in three directions. Three directions, three ribs. Notice what it says in chapter 8 and verse 4. I saw the ram pushing westward, northward, and southward. Everybody see the three directions? That's why it had three ribs. If it's eating ribs, it means it's devoured something, doesn't it? This bear just got through eating something. It has ribs in its mouth. Well, it's devoured in three different directions. And it gives you directions of it in chapter 8 and verse 4. Everybody see it? So, the lion with the wings, Babylon. The bear that's lumped on, is raised on one side, Medes and Persian Empire. And I'm going to be honest with you, you can't say everybody, but any prophecy person you'll read after, dispensational, whatever, they'll agree with what I'm saying. You'll find very few that disagree with what I said just now. Okay? Now, you go into chapter 2, Babylon was pictured as gold, and Medes and Persia was pictured as silver. Same vision. I mean, not the same vision, two different visions, but picturing the same thing. But there's a little additional information given to us in chapter 7 that he wants you to see, which is why he gave it. All right, when we go down then into verse 6. After this I beheld, and lo, another like a leopard, which had upon his back four wings of a fowl. Now the idea of this is to denote to you great speed. Fast, quick. You know, leopard's known for being quick anyhow, isn't it? But you throw four wings on its back, it's even quicker. And of course, what happened after the Persians, I just seen this on the History Channel, by the way. But anyhow, what kingdom arose after the Medes and Persians? The Greece under Alexander the Great. And boy, what was he known for? He conquered a lot of area. How did he do it? He did it fast. I mean, he walked through the Medes and Persian Empire like they were nothing. So it was a quick conquest. Don't you remember hearing in history where he conquered so much, he sat down and wept because there's no more to conquer? You've heard that before? It was a fast conquering that he did. But you know, when he was 33 years of age, and the book of Daniel prophesies that in Daniel 8, when he would be great, he would be cut off. And when he died, the empire wasn't ready for that. He was a young man. But he died at 33 years of age. And his nation was divided. His territory was divided under four generals. So you see that represented in the text. It says he had four wings of a fowl and the beast had four heads. See, the nation of Greece under Alexander the Great then divided up under four heads after him. So the nation of the leopard is Greece, Persia, Babylon. Daniel chapter 2, it's represented as gold, silver, and brass. Same kingdoms. See how they fit? Just given to two different men. All right, so we know, now that I've done this so far, we know who the terrible beast is, don't we? Notice it mentions him in the next part of it. Goes down into verse 7. And after this I saw in the night visions, behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible and strong exceedingly. He had great iron teeth. Remember the kingdom of iron over here in Nebuchadnezzar's dream? What was that kingdom of iron? Who conquered the Greeks? Rome. He's pictured of having, in this prophecy in Daniel 7, he's pictured having iron teeth. He devours everything. And folks, the Romans were ruthless. I mean, they were ruthless. And they conquered almost the whole known world and held it for almost 1,000 years. I mean, they were tremendously powerful. So that's the terrible beast represented by the beast with the iron teeth. Okay? Daniel 2. He's pictured as being iron. Okay, now on this terrible beast, it mentions 10 horns. 10 horns on this terrible beast. You say, oh, Jeff, why are they on the beast? Well, I'm going to tell you. Babylon had its own territory. Persia had its own territory. The Greeks had their own territory. Rome had their own territory. But the 10 tribes, they came down and took over the Roman territory. And they settled in those areas. So that's why they're pictured of being on Rome. Now, here's where the disagreement is. I mentioned this in chapter 2. Here's where the disagreement takes place amongst the prophetic teachers. Everybody goes in historic order. Babylon, Persia, Greece, Rome. And then when they get down to here, they gap that off and say, that's out in the future. That's the 10 European nations' future, and the Antichrist comes up during those nations. Isn't that how it goes? Well, folks, why don't you just keep running by history? And what happened in the Germanic tribes is the ones that came in and conquered Rome. It's a fact of history. I hate to mention this again, but you know, sometimes on the History Channel they show Barbarian Week. Loved it. I don't know why I love things like that, but I love to watch Barbarian. It shows all these barbarians flooding down all over into Rome. Do y'all not agree? Why would you not run? And it was 10 Germanic tribes that conquered Rome. I'll give them to you. Now, there was more than 10. Sometimes there was less than 10. But we know because of the Bible, in the original, there was 10. Okay? Let me give them to you again. I gave them to you in the past. Oh, I hope I got them wrote in here. I do. Here they are. You ready? The Visigoths. Heard of the Goths? Alemanni? The Vandals? The Anglo-Saxons? The Jutes? The Burgundians? The Franks? The Heruls? The Ostrogoths? And the Lombards? Those are 10 Germanic tribes. You can look them up. And you can see their history. You can see the word Germanic tribes. You can see that they came in and they all fought against Rome from different sides. They came down. Okay? Now, who's descended from those tribes? England, France, Germany, United States. The great nations in the world descended from these tribes. Okay? So, where are they still? And there's others that like Spain, North Africa, France, Italy, is just some of the nations that came from these tribes. So when you look at it historically, that's how it runs. So you say, Jeff, that's the same thing you said in chapter 2. It is. It's the same vision. See the 10, it showed us 10 horns here, it showed us 10 toes there, but it's the same vision. It means the same thing. Everybody see it? The difference is I don't gap this off. I run it straight. And it should run straight. Don't gap it. No gap there. Unless you put it there. Run it right down the image in chapter 2 and run it right down in this text. Okay? Now, let's go ahead and read on. Boy, I'm glad I didn't try to do the little horn tonight. Let's go back to Daniel 7. Now, the nations that descended from these 10 tribes, they will continue all the way down to when? Till King Jesus comes. And Jesus is depicted in this text in verse 9. And I beheld all the thrones that were cast down. Now, here's a picture of Jesus and His coming. He's going to come and take us out, isn't He? Are we waiting on that to happen? And after He takes it out, He's going to destroy the nations of this earth. And here's depicted. We had it depicted in chapter 2. Remember the big rock coming and smashing the image and setting up a nation that would last forever. That's our nation, our king, and our kingdom. I get tore up when I look at our kingdom, Coy. I believe this. This ain't it. We just Folks, we set down too strong of ties in this old world. We ain't here real long, no matter how you slice it. We're going to a we got a kingdom. It'll last forever. It says in verse 10, and a fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. Thousand thousands ministered unto him. 10,000 stood before him, and the judgment was set, and the books were opened. And I beheld then, because of the voice of the great words which the horn spake, and I beheld even till the beast was slain, and its body destroyed, and given to the burning flame. Verse 13, let's skip down here. And I saw in the night visions, behold, one like unto the Son of Man came with the clouds. What's that picture of? And he came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. There was given to him dominion and glory and a kingdom, and all people, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom which shall not be destroyed. That's our kingdom. You see it here. You see it in chapter 2 of the book of Daniel. That's our nation. That's what the angel told Mary in the book of Luke, was it not? Of his kingdom they shall be no end. Be a part of that kingdom, you got to trust the King of. Isn't that wonderful? Aren't you glad you saved tonight? Ain't you glad you saved? So that's long range plans of things. This whole world will be destroyed and everything in it. And he'll set up a kingdom. He'll set up a nation that lasts forever. Okay? Everybody see the similarities now? Everybody understand the vision and what these represent? Now let me turn you to Revelation 13. Revelation 13. Revelation 13. Now, oh boy, I can't deal with that. When you come to the book of Revelations, you go into chapter 8 and 9, you have the trumpet judgments are falling. All this judgment's falling down upon the earth in chapter 8 and 9 of the book of Revelations. Then what happens is he stops telling you about the judgment and your attention is drawn to a little open book. When you change books, you're changing subjects. So what he does here in chapter 11 and 12 and 13 and 14 is he gives you reasons why the tribulation, why the judgment is so great. One reason, chapter 11, because of the way the world has treated God's people. Chapter 12, because you look at chapter 12, it gives you, you can read chapter 12 of Revelation, it gives you a history of the Lord's kingdom. And you see how Satan has been at war against it. Then when you come into chapter 13, it gives you a history of the Satan's kingdom. All right, now watch this. Are you in chapter 13? I can't get off on these things. I'm just mentioning it just for fun, I guess. Revelation 13. Here's John. Watch what he sees. And I stood upon the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rise out of the what? Where'd that beast come out of that Daniel saw? Come up out of the sea, didn't it? Now, this beast had 7 heads and 10 horns. You say, well, Jeff, why does it got 7 heads? I mean, here it just covers five nations. That oven covers 5 nations. You know why it's different? This starts in Daniel's day. See? John is back here, and he goes all the way back and adds 2 more nations from the Tower of Babel. Egypt, Assyria, Babylon, Persia, Greece, Rome, and the 10 tribes. 7 of them. See, that's the difference. Daniel just starts in his day. Now, behind Daniel was what? Egypt and Assyria. So Daniel sees just from his day, Brother Eddie, down. John's looking back. He covers it all the way back. He goes all the way back. But again, it's Brother Clint, it's the same telling the same thing. All right. Now, this beast that comes up out of the sea, seven heads and ten what? Ten horns. You got ten horns there and ten toes there. It's the same thing. Talking about the Germanic tribes. Now, if you don't believe me, I'm going to, by His grace, nail it down with verse 2 of Revelation 13. Notice how this beast that come up out of the sea is described by John in Revelation 13. The beast that I saw was like a leopard. Watch the board. Was like a leopard. His feet was like a bear. His mouth was that of a... Does that sound familiar to you? John said a leopard. Now watch this. A leopard, a bear, and a lion. Now, I want to show you something. You say, well, Daniel goes a lion, a bear, and a leopard. Why does Daniel go this way? Because Daniel was looking forward. Now, where was John at? John was looking back. He looked from a leopard, a bear, to a lion. He's just looking back. And John, who was the dominant kingdom at the time John was writing? Rome. Didn't mention them, but this is just to let you to know that what John saw is the same thing that Daniel saw and Nebuchadnezzar saw in Daniel 2. It fits perfectly together. You say, well, how do they know? How do they know that Holy Spirit authored the whole book? Had the same author in it. And you can just see how He weaves it, and brings it together. Okay. So, I'm going to stop. I'm going to leave you hanging. I want to. I want to show you one thing. Let's go ahead and turn back to Daniel chapter 7. And I'm going to stop with this. I think I'd better, don't you? I've learned over the years you can give too much at one setting. And it took me a while. I forget it. Okay. Now the difference between what Nebuchadnezzar saw. Okay, Nebuchadnezzar saw this, right? And Daniel saw this, right? What's the difference between the two visions? There is one difference. Daniel sees a little horn. There's no little horn in this vision. That's the difference. See, he gives you more information here. You see, during the times of these ten tribes, they come down and they conquer Rome. During their time, now listen to this real tight, that's when the little horn will come up. He'll come up during the time of these ten tribes. Okay? So do I believe that the little horn is here? Absolutely, I believe He's here. And you go back before the 1900s, most Bible teachers thought He was here. Let me give you a brief reading. I've got to stop this. I don't want to get off on this. Here's what this thing will do. Verse 20, and the ten horns that were in the head and of the other which came up before whom three fell. Three of these ten would fall. And when these three would fall, this little horn would come up. It had a mouth. Watch this now. It had a mouth and it spoke very great things. It's got a big mouth. That means it makes great claims about itself. It's got a big mouth. It says in this, here's why you should find it interesting. Verse 21, and I beheld, and that same horn made war with the saints. Made war against the saints. Who's the saints? That's God's people. This little horn not only would make great claims about itself, but it would war against God's people. And it would do that. Now, I want you to watch this now. Now, you've got to see this. It would do that until the Ancient of Days came. And judgment was given to the saints of the Most High God. So this little horn would last all the way down till Jesus comes. See, I don't have Him being set up after Jesus comes. He comes up during the time of the 10 tribes, and He'll last all the way down till Jesus comes. And that's when He'll be exposed. All God's people say, all right, we'll stop. Let's all stand.